morning, Bridge of Hope. We're so glad that you joined us today online again. God bless you all. I pray that you are ministered to. Get your family all together and worship with us together on this Palm Sunday. What an exciting time of the year for Christians to celebrate Easter. I know you all have seen this Facebook post that Easter is not canceled. The devil tried that 2,000 years ago. It didn't work. So we will celebrate on this Palm Sunday today as Jesus rode into Jerusalem. The crowd cried, Hosanna, Hosanna. And we're going to cry Hosanna today. God, save us now. Our country needs to be saved. So worship with us today. I do want to tell you a couple of things about our Facebook online service. It's very, very helpful to us if you will like it, share it, and make comments. That helps us out a lot. So if you'll do that for us, I'd appreciate it. God bless you.
We're going to have a party.
One more thing. I knew I was forgetting something. I'm so sorry. If you want to have a watch party, you need to wait until the service is over and then invite people to have a watch party with you. Thank you. So good. That tells the whole story. You lived, you died, you rose again on high. I praise him for all he's done. And where would we all be without the amazing grace of Jesus? Come on, sing it now with me today. Thank you, Jesus. Save a wretch like me. you, Jesus. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. And all my days have been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Sing it now. Sing it with all you got.
Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. And if you're in your living room, you're in the house of the Lord. And you need to declare that over your house, that your house is the house of the Lord. We are the church. We're not going to church. We are the church. So I just really encourage you, as Treva did, to use this time. It's a different time, but to use it as a family time to gather together, to worship. I believe that we're going to find that our strength is in our worship. Our strength is in our getting in the Word of God. So I just really encourage you. I know it's a bit awkward when you're watching TV on a big screen or on your phone or whatever you're watching it on. It's a bit awkward to get into it. But I would encourage you to really lift your hands when we're worshiping. Worship with us. Don't just watch us. Be a participant, not just a watcher. So I want to come to you today out of John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. I titled this sermon, "There is One Solution to Our Problems, Real or Imagined." Real or imagined. In other words, some of our problems are real, and some of them are just imagined in our head. And as Ray and I talked on Wednesday night, the Lord says He could cast down those imaginations if we would allow Him to. And that will solve some of your problems. But there are real problems that we face in life. You know, beside this coronavirus, we have people shutting down their business. We have people that's unemployed. We have people that's going through great difficulty. And so let's not think that this is fake. Let's not think that it's political. It's not political. If this affects anyone that we love, then all of a sudden this becomes a very real problem. And it is a very real problem. And so we want to be faithful to do our part during this problem. And what is our part? And we're going to discuss that today. So let's look at the word in John chapter 14. This is when Jesus knew He was getting ready to go to the cross. And I love what Treva said about this being the Passover. This is when Jesus entered the town on the donkey that had never been ridden, never been rode. And so they were cutting down palm branches and they were throwing them in the street before Him. And they were waving, "Hosanna, Hosanna," which means "save us now." And don't you think that's appropriate for this very day, that we should be saying, "God, Hosanna, save us now"? But at that time, Jesus' heart, now Jesus knows what He is getting ready to go to. He knows that the cross is before Him. And who's He worried about? Now, He's not worried, but who is He looking to comfort? His disciples. I don't think we see a truer picture of love than when we look at Christ in chapter 14 of the book of John. This man, this God-man, knows that the cross is 5 days ahead, and yet He turns His attention to the ones that's been following Him for 3 years. Let's read these first 6 verses. I believe we'll have them on the screen for you. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas said to Him, "Lord, we do not know where You're going. And how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." Would you bow your head? Maybe even take the hand of your wife, your children. Let's pray together. Jesus, we come before You right now. Lord, we're not able to be together, but we still need to hear a word from You. We still need to allow the Holy Spirit to touch our hearts. we still need, even as these disciples needed, the comforting of the Holy Spirit, the comforting of Jesus. So God, we look to you today, Lord. The battle is on, but we look to you because we know that in ourselves we are weak, but you are strong. Lord, we know that this battle will be won through you, through your knowledge, through your wisdom given, through your protective hand upon our life. Lord, we just look to you, Jesus. We realize, Lord, the battle is yours, it's not ours. So, Father, we look to you, God, for your saving grace. Father, as a minister, as a pastor of this church, Lord, we just repent, Lord, right now, that as a society, we have asked you to leave our society. We have asked you to step out of our schools and step out of our government, and some even step out of the church. God, we ask today, Lord, as we repent before you, Lord, we have gone astray and we have messed up, Lord. Our whole priority system has got messed up in America. But we repent of that and we humble ourselves right now, God, and we look to you, Lord. We cry out to you. Lord, you are our saving grace. Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would get involved again, Lord, in America. Lord, that you would get involved, Lord, in the churches. Lord, Revelation 3:20, Lord, is your word to the church. And he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if you'll open the door, I will come in. Father, I want you to know today, Lord, churches all over America are opening their door once again to the Holy Spirit. We're asking you, God, we need you in a great and mighty way. We have no solution other than you. We pray, God, visit America once again. Let the revival fire start again, Lord. We seek your face. We seek you. God, have you got a word for us? Do you have a word for America? You hold the healing balm in your hand. Your hand is not short and it is not weakened. We ask, Lord, for the power of God to be demonstrated in our land, to be demonstrated in us and in our homes. Father, we repent, Lord, that we have considered a building the church when we realize, Lord, we are the church and you have deployed the church in these times. Lord, like Esther spoke, Lord, for such a time as this, God has brought me into the kingdom. God, I believe for such a time as this, you are deploying your church like never before to pray and to seek your face and to cry, Hosanna, save us now, Jesus. Not just from the coronavirus. Lord, we need saved from many things, God. We need saved from the sinful past. We need saved from ourself, Father. We need saved from the wrath of God, which is coming. Save us now. Precious Lord, heal our land. Heal our land. Heal this great nation. Heal our hearts. Heal the church. And Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I think this has always been one of my favorite portions of scripture. Because if I knew that I was going to die in 5 days, I don't think that my heart would turn towards others. I'm afraid I would be consumed with what is before me. But he later even goes on and he says, but for the joy that was set before me, I endured the cross. Right? What was that joy? I believe that joy was us. I believe that Jesus looked forward thousands of years and he saw the church coming together. And that was the joy, seeing God manifesting himself on this land. He spoke not once, but he actually spoke this line twice in this chapter. Let not your heart be troubled. I find that wherever you go, we're not supposed to be going much, but we're still rubbing shoulders with a few people. We're still meeting a few people, and you see that their hearts are troubled. You know, Christians, I just really challenge you not just to let your heart not be troubled, but also that you would speak that to other people. Come on, church. Let's not be troubled. God is in control, and I give him charge over my life, right? You know, God's always in control. Sometimes he's not in charge. You know why? Because I have taken charge. I have taken charge over my family, or I have taken charge over my life. But I relinquish that. And I say, God, I don't want to be in charge. I want you to be not only in control, but in charge of Bridge of Hope Church, of the Kelleher family, and of Eric Kelleher. I want you to be in charge. He comforts us because he loves us. I believe that if Jesus was standing right here at this moment in time, and if he could speak to the church, not just of America, but if he could speak to the church today, right in my stead, he would say these very words: don't be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Come on. You believe in God? Believe also in me. And then he goes on and he gives us a promise like none other. And sometimes we focus on this. Do you know, I memorized this portion of scripture when I was 9 years old. Susan Dodd, I can go all the way back to Susan Dodd being my teacher when I was 9 years old. And this is one passage that she made me memorize. She beat this into my head. And I'm so thankful she did. In my Father's house are many mansions. Some versions say rooms. You know, I don't care if it's a room or a mansion. It's not about what we're going to be living in. It's about where we're going to be living. We're going to be living in the presence of God. You know, the streets of gold and gates of pearls never really thrills me much. But what thrills me is knowing that the light of that city is Jesus Christ himself, and that we are going to be in his presence. You know, I've just got to be honest with you. I am not worried over the coronavirus. I'm just not. And I can't tell you that I won't get it. I believe I won't get it. I'm faithfully confessing that it's not going to come to my house. But you, the way I see it is we win either way. If you get the coronavirus and die, which we're not hoping that on anyone, but if that would happen, you win. I mean, this is what we're living for, right? Is that one day we're going to go and our eyes will behold streets of gold, gates of pearls, the crystal sea of believers. But what you will focus on, I promise you, what you will focus on is the throne room and who is sitting on the throne. I promise you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. I wish you'd put your name there. I go to prepare a place for Eric. I go to prepare a place for Ray. I go to prepare a place for Treva. I'm not for sure about Courtney and the other Eric, but I go to prepare a place for you. And then he says, I will. Listen to that. It's a determined. I will. I promise you his word is true. I will come again, and I will receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And then Jesus does something that if you know me, you know I love the seven I ams in the book of John, because he reveals his true identity. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. That's why we believe that when we pray in the name of Jesus, and we pray through Jesus to the Father. So he says, I am the way. You know, we sing that song that he is the way maker. The reason we know that he's the way maker is because of this verse, because he said, I'm the way. So if he's the way, then I believe that he's the way maker. He's going to make a way for me, regardless of the problem, regardless that your life is full of joy or full of problems right now. He said, I'm the way maker. Now, for years and years and years, I guess from the beginning of time, many people have tried to make their own way. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to man, but the end is the way to death. That's when you try to do it yourself. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, he says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. In other words, you cannot follow the crowd on this one. Does that make sense to you today? I hope it does. If you're following culture, if you're following the news, if you're leading your life according to a magazine, Time or any of those magazines which tells you what culture is doing right now, you're on the wrong path. It says narrow is the way. So his way cuts through culture. His way is a subculture of itself. And he says it's narrow, and there are few that find it. We just pray you find it. Isaiah 30, 21 says, your ears shall hear a word behind you. In other words, as you're walking down your path, you will hear in your head, in your knower, this saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or wherever you turn to the left, God will lead you and guide you. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. John 17:17, he says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. He tells us narrow is the way. And then he says, sanctify them, which means to set them apart. If you look just like the average Joe American today, you're not following close to the Jesus. I promise you that. That's what he's saying. Set them apart, Lord, and set them apart by your truth, by your word. Your word is truth. So his word, when you hide the word of God in your heart, it says you will not sin. It's what the word says, Psalms 119. The more you hide the word of God in your heart, the more that you're going to find that you're separate from this world. And then Jesus says this. He said in John 10:10, most of us know this verse, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the devil's job, is to steal from you, to kill you, and to destroy your influence and your witness. But he ends with this, I have come. Jesus said, listen, the reason I'm on planet Earth, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So not only is he the way maker, he's the life giver and the truth teller. So we find, I just think every time I read that verse, I come back to the point, am I living an abundant life? Sometimes I have to admittedly say, right now, my life is not abundant. And I don't think this has anything to do with finances, personally. I think that he will meet your finances. He'll meet your needs. But I think when we find the abundant life, it's that joy inside our heart. And joy doesn't come just because you got money. Matter of fact, a lot of times when you get money, it takes joy away because then you're worried about it. And right now, if you're worried about the coronavirus, if you're worried about your business, if you're worried about your family, then you don't have life abundant. He wants to remove that from you. He wants your heart to be comforted today. I want to continue to read a little bit. John chapter 14, look down to verse 12. And he says, most assuredly, King James probably says verily, verily, but most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. I'm so thankful. He said he won't leave us orphans. So it said, he says, as surely I say to you, if you believe in me, you're going to do greater works. Now, I've heard this debated all my life. How in the world can we do greater works? And I don't think it means better works than Christ did. I think he meant more abundant works than Christ did. Why? Because Jesus was limited by his humanity. Jesus was fully man, but fully God. But because he was fully man, he could only be in one spot at one time in one place. And he goes on and he says, I'm getting ready to leave, but I'm not going to leave you orphans. I am sending someone back, someone just like me, the Holy Spirit. So how can we do greater works? Because instead of there being one of us, there's millions of us. We know now probably better than any other time in our history, there's 330 million people in the United States. And sometimes they say that there's 50% of us are Christians. I doubt that sincerely. That would be the majority. But let's say there's 10% of Americans are Christians. That's 33 million believers. Now, if 33 million believers only in our nation would get a hold of this verse that Jesus said we can do greater works than he did, the one man, because the Holy Spirit empowers us. We can do greater. If we would step out in that kind of faith and believe God, when we pray for the sick, when we lay our hands on the sick, they will recover. When we go out, peace goes with us. When we go out, joy follows us because we're walking in our Father. Jesus, I love this verse in Peter. Everything you need for life and godliness, you already have. And then he said this, I make you a partaker. I'm a participant in the divine nature of God. Isn't that awesome? So if this verse becomes real to you, where you're a participant in the divine nature, his DNA now is your DNA, the things that Jesus did, now you are empowered to do. If 33 million people would get that and we would go out, we would see this verse manifested. We would see it come to life. But that drives me to a point that says, dear Jesus, help my faith. I can't read that and think that I'm qualified and think that I'm ready. How can I be ready to do the works of Christ, even though I know that the Holy Spirit is in me? So I'm sort of like the disciples. Oh, God, increase our faith. And, you know, I remember a man getting really upset with me one time and saying, you can't increase your faith. Your faith is whatever God has given you. That's nonsense. Because God is not a respecter of persons. And if he gave you great faith and me little faith, then that would be a respecter of persons. And he tells all through the scripture, if you read your gospels, he tells somebody, he says, they had no faith in that town. Or you have little faith. But then that Roman centurion, he said, I've never seen such great faith as this. So that makes me think, well, then how do I increase my faith? And Romans 10:17 tells us faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Now, if I can put the Kelleher spin on that for just a second, will you give me the liberty to say it this way? Your faith can be increased by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. You cannot put it in too much. If you grew up in the 60s, You remember the old commercial, the Brill Cream was a greasy product you put in your hair and make it slick. That's when people like that slick back look. And the commercial was, a little dab will do you. And I feel like that's what the American church has done with Christianity. It's done with the Word of God. A little dab will do you. But I got news for you. We don't need a little dab. You need to be dosed in the Word of God. We need to hear and hear and hear and hear. Why do you think, do you realize that this time of isolation, of us being in our homes, it would be very easy for us just to say, we'll see you when we see you. But we can't do that because there's a mandate on our heart and there's a mandate on our life to preach the Word of God. Why? Because faith needs to be increased. Doesn't need to decrease. At one point in the book of Mark, Jesus said, have faith in God. One version said that it should read, have the faith of God. But he says in my Bible, have faith in God. He says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, now get that word says, because it's incredibly important what you say. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and you do not doubt, that's the difficulty, do not doubt in your heart, but he believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you'll receive them and you will have them. Folks, we have got to watch the words that come out of our mouth. This is not a time when you need to get diarrhea of the mouth. This is the time when you better set a guard over your mouth. You might want to run everything that you're fixing to say in your brain before it comes out of your mouth. When you're thinking about saying something about your family getting sick, or we're probably just a moment away from it, it's going to spread all over Henry County. Well, I bet it's going to take out a bunch of people in Henry County. Don't let those words out of your mouth. We need to speak the word of protection over Henry County, protection over your home. So let your words be faith-filled. How do you do that? Get in the Word. We've told you over and over, Psalms 91, read it. I like when you think about Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. I like to think that means you need to speak it out loud. Because if I'm going to hear it, I can't just be reading it silently. I need to speak the Word of God out loud. And His Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's just as powerful as when it came out of the mouth of Jesus, when it comes out of your mouth. Speak the word. Jesus is the solution to our problems. And he said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And this is what his disciples could not wrap their mind around. And this is the best thing for you, is what he's saying. Jesus is saying, the best thing for me to do for you is for me to leave. And the disciple says, there is no way that can be true. We have been following you for 3 years. How can it be good now if you leave? We want you to be king. Right now, set up your kingdom. And Jesus said, no, that's not the Father's will. That's not the Father's plan. I've got to leave. I've got to leave because I'm sending one back to you. And the Greek word is allos. And it means one beside me and in addition to me, but just like me. He will do in my absence what I would do if I were physically present with you. He does not leave us comfortless. He said, I am leaving, but I am sending. And I'm sending one that's going to live in your heart. And he is the Spirit of truth. Thy word is truth. He's the Spirit that takes the Word and makes it alive in your heart. He is what lives in your heart. The Spirit of Jesus lives in your heart. If you get saved, the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. You're no longer an orphan. Let's read one more passage of Scripture. John chapter 14, again, verse 25 through 27. Let me find it. It says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things. He'll bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you. And then he followed these words, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in me, neither let it be afraid. In other words, it's like Jesus saying, boys, I've got a plan. And here's the plan. I'm going away, but I'm sending you a piece of me back. I'm sending my spirit back to you. I love how he has so many names. He is the Holy Spirit. He is the comforter when you're hurting. He is the helper when you need assistance, which is always. And he's the teacher. And Jesus said, here's another promise I'm giving to you. He said, my peace, I give it to you. My peace. It's like, you know, if I said, my $100 I'm giving to you, I'd have to reach in my wallet and grab a $100 bill, if I had one, and then give it to you. And Jesus said, my peace, the peace that I have walked in since the day I was born on this earth, I'm giving it to you. Now, peace in the Greek is Irene. It means wholeness, completeness, or tranquility in the soul. Listen to this. That is unaffected by outward circumstances or pressures. It suggests the rule of order in the place of chaos. I got news for you. If chaos has been the rule of order in your home, that's not God's best for you. If you have found your heart and your mind in a chaotic state, that's not what God intended. I promise you, I'm not stepping out of the line here. I'm right in the Word of God. He wants your heart to be full of a calmness, a completeness. It's an inner stability that results in the ability to conduct himself peacefully, even in the midst of circumstances that would normally be nerve-wracking, traumatic, or upsetting. It's real easy to lose our peace. And I always tell people, you know, the Bible says, let the peace of the Lord lead and guide you. It means let it umpire your life. It's going to call the balls and strikes. But you need to, when you lose your peace, you need to stop. You need to quit making decisions. Say, no, I'm going to have to table this because I'm losing my peace. Come back where Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. This is the state that we should be living in right now. Let not your heart be troubled. I don't care. Coronavirus may not be the worst thing that's ever happened. It may be followed with something worse. I'm not a prophet, and I'm not prophesying this, but I'm just saying, if this is the beginning of birth pains, we have no promise that the earth is not going to suffer. And if it gets worse, I sort of feel in my spirit that this is a practice. This is a practice run. This coronavirus, and I'm not saying it's not real. Please don't misunderstand me. It's very real. It's very dangerous. It's killing people. I'm not taking away from the severity of this. But I'm just saying it could get worse. Something else could happen. Something else could follow this. Now, I pray it doesn't. But what if it does? This is the time where we can get our game on. We can practice walking in peace when no one else has peace. How do you do that? He who dwells in the secret place of the Almighty shall abide under the shadow. Right? He who dwells, he who tabernacles, he who lives in that secret place. There's never been a time in my 58 years that I have seen that we had more time on our hands. We have time now. We've said for years, well, I just don't have time to go to church. I don't have time to read the Bible. I don't have time to pray. You do now. You got time now. Shopping is out. Ball games is out. Church is even out. You got time to read your Bible. Now, you may not be using your time to read your Bible, but you've got time. He who dwells, he who tabernacles, he who lives in this secret place. If you don't have peace right now, it's because you haven't been to the secret place. You're not dwelling in the Word. Because he says, my peace I give to you. I've also given you the Holy Spirit. So I pray today that your heart is comforted. You know, I have thought and thought and thought about this. As Treva has put on Facebook earlier, Sherry Marlin set our sanctuary up with all these puppets. And I've been tempted to say, listen up, you dummies. But I didn't want you to take it personal. But there's one out here that looks just like Bob Tyler. I'm telling you, I keep wanting to say, Bob Tyler, wake up. So there's Bob Tyler right there as far as I'm concerned.
How did he get in the building today?
I don't know. He's not supposed to be here. So there's about 10 of these puppets around here. It's pretty funny. So our word for you is blessing. Man, if Jesus looked at his disciples and said, let not your heart be comforted, I think that we can also say, come on, guys, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He really desires for us to walk in peace. Even in the midst of this storm, let's walk in peace. And hey, take time to share it. You know, I think Christians ought to know this. You should know this. You should know that you're supposed to walk in peace. And I know your heart gets challenged, mine does too. But there's a world that we live in that they don't know these verses. They don't understand that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. This is the time that the church should be deployed. This is the time that you can stand out among those you work with. You can stand out among everybody that you know, not as greater, but as confident in Jesus. So please be quick to share. Hey, I have peace in this storm. Why? Because I have Jesus in my heart, and he said he gave me his peace. Let's walk in that. Can we pray? Jesus, you didn't give us your word just so we could increase wisdom, just so we could read it and do nothing with it. You gave us your word so that you could set us apart, so that you could bring confidence to our heart, so that you could transform our mind. Jesus, some of this problem is our fault. We haven't used your word to let it change our minds. We're still thinking like the world. But God, I pray right now, Lord, that we would allow the word to transform us. We would allow your spirit to take over. Lord, I know there's a war within us, Lord, and it's the Holy Spirit fighting our soul, fighting our man side. God, I pray right now that everybody makes that decision to let the Spirit lead. Let you lead the charge of the church. Because I believe this is not a time of retreat, but this is a time of charge. Let's go get them. Let's share with the world the peace of the Lord Jesus, the help of the Comforter, that the Holy Spirit is right here with us. He has not left us comfortless. He has not left us orphans. He has empowered us by the gift of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. Holy Spirit is as much God as Jesus is. So I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are large and in charge of each one of us. And I pray peace would go through these airwaves in Jesus' name. Amen. Raise your hand, receive a blessing from me. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken, wholeness, completeness, tranquility in your soul, no chaos. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, folks. We'll see you Wednesday night as we share another word from you. God bless you.